This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. Some people run for office. Some people run from the law. Still others run away from their past. Our guest today has been running for 47 years, but her goal isn't to win an election, evade capture, or reinvent herself. She runs because she wants to be healthy. Dr. Ruth Heydrich is an Ironman triathlete and was featured in the film Forks Over Knives. She knows a thing or two about the sport and how to formulate an exercise program that optimizes health and well-being. I've asked her to join us today to share what she's learned along those thousands of miles that pass below her running feet. Dr. Ruth, welcome to HeartWise.
Thank you, Charles. It's great to be here.
Now, I was wondering, and I know a lot of people are wondering too, I'll just ask you right up front. Dr. Ruth, how old are you?
I've reached the big 80 years old. Believe it. It just doesn't seem possible. I certainly don't feel it. And I've been told I don't look it.
I was going to say, looking at the pictures of you on the internet and on your book as well, I would put you in maybe late 60s, possibly 70, but not 80. This is amazing. And speaking of, your latest book, Lifelong Running, caught my eye, not only because you boast a whole lot more years than most in this sport, you've also discovered that diet is just as important as exercising in building and maintaining optimum health. Not only that, Dr. Ruth, you say that diet and exercise can, in many cases, reverse breast cancer. How can you possibly know that?
Yeah, because I did it.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I was a marathoner and had been running for 14 years up to 1982 when I was diagnosed with the breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And I was so shocked. I said, wait a minute, I can't have cancer. I'm a marathoner, for Pete's sake. And actually got a second opinion because I couldn't believe it, and a third opinion, a fourth opinion. Pretty soon, I had to face reality. I had cancer, and that's when I met Dr. John McDougall. Are you familiar with him?
Oh, we've had him on the program many times. He is a firecracker, he is.
Okay, so you know what he told me,
Yes. Literally
quoting, if you want to save your life, change your diet. Mm. And my response was, it's too late. I've already got it. It's stage four. It's already spread. He repeated, if you want to save your life, change your diet. Mm. And he pulled out some of the research and showed me the animal studies. He showed me the population studies. It was so convincing. I went home 2 hours later following a low-fat vegan diet.
Mm-hmm.
And that, as I said, 1982. So I think it's pretty safe to say that I've reversed the breast cancer. Although, you know, I think if I went back to eating the SAD diet, you know, the standard American diet, the cancer would recur. Those cells are still probably, very probably in my body. They just are dormant because they're not being fed the hormones, the animal products, and the oils that encourage and cause cancer to proliferate. So it keeps me on the straight and narrow. Not that it's that difficult, because I love eating this way. You know, I relish every single one of my meals. I sit there eating my leafy greens and fruits and veggies and think, wow, this really tastes good. And how do we convince all the rest of the world that, you know, what we've discovered is really fun?
Yes, absolutely. You know, you bring up an interesting point here. You say that those cells are dormant in you. The truth of the matter is those cells are dormant in most of us. Would I be safe in saying that?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's no question with the ambient radiation, with the fact that random mutations occurring all the time, it's very safe to say we all harbor those cells. And it's not genetics. It's whether those genes get turned on. It's whether you have the conditions right for the initiation and promotion of cancer. Take those conditions away and they go back to sleep.
My. I was reading an interview that you did in Singapore. You were recently in that country. And you mentioned an interesting juxtaposition of events around the time you had the breast cancer, stage 4 breast cancer. You did something very strange, and then something very strange happened to you. Share that story with us.
Yeah. Well, I had just been diagnosed, and a week later was when I had heard about Dr. McDougall and his research on diet and cancer and wanting a subject to prove what he was claiming. And I hadn't gone back to work because I'd had the biopsy, the surgery, which was incidentally all I had, no chemo, no radiation, no hormone manipulation. I hadn't gone back to work yet because I still was recovering from the surgery when I happened to see on television, because I'd never watched it before, so I was just channel surfing and happened to see the ABC Wide World of Sports, the Ironman Triathlon. And I sat there transfixed. I thought, oh, my, they're doing a 2.5-mile swim right off here in Waikiki, right where I live. And then they're doing a 112-mile bike around the island. And then they're doing a marathon, which I had done a bunch of. And I thought, I can do that. And then it hit me, lady, you've got cancer. And I thought, wait a minute, Dr. McDougall said, and then wait a minute, you're too old. I was then 47 years old. And these were all 20-year-olds doing this. And I thought, you know, if I can prove that the vegan diet, a low-fat vegan diet, can enable me to do the Ironman triathlon, people are going to have to take notice. So that was the coincidence of seeing the Ironman at that time, meeting Dr. McDougall at that time. You talk about a confluence of healthy, good events. Wow.
And so you go out and you start training for this marathon. Stage 4 breast cancer looming, surgery, recovering. You start training, and then what happens next?
Well, I was actually 7 weeks before the Ironman, this great big event, and I was on my bicycle. I was actually in Kona, Hawaii, where the course was on the bike, when I got hit by a truck while on the bike. I think it was devastating. I say think because I had a concussion and amnesia. Woke up in the hospital about 10 hours later saying, where am I? What happened? Where's my bike? And the nurse there in the room was laughing. Why are you laughing? And she said, well, you had amnesia from the concussion, and you've been asking that same question over and over and over again.
Where's my bike?
Where's my bike? Yeah. And that was, they say, 7 weeks before I found out. They handed me my helmet, which was in two halves. Oh. It had cracked it open. And that's why I had the concussion, and I had fractured my hip. The acetabulum, which is where the leg joint fits into the hip, was fractured in three places. And I said, but I've got to do the Ironman in October. And this was late August. And they said, forget it. There's no way you're going to be able to do the Ironman. I said, I've got to do it. I've got to. You know, I'm thinking about the vegan diet. I'm going to prove how good it is. And they said, well, think about it for next year. And I just smiled and said, you'll see, you'll see. So I knew I could at least start it. So I got through the swim, okay. And then I thought, well, I'll start the bike and see how that goes. Well, by the time I finished 112 miles on the bike, I was pretty sore and hurting. And I thought, I can't hurt any worse than this. I'm going to start the run. And just kept on going and going and going. I thought, I'll make it to the next aid station. And then the next aid station and the next. And I could not believe there's the finish line.
Oh, my.
14 hours.
Oh, my.
14 hours to do this, crossing the finish line and thinking, yes, the vegan diet, I healed very much faster than what the doctor said. And I did something no cancer patient has ever done, no vegan patient has ever done. And I thought, you know, the whole world would take notice the next day. You know what? Nothing happened. That was 1982. And I'm still waiting for the whole world to take notice.
You're still waiting.
Well, I tell you what, you have written a lot of books, A Race for Life, Chef, Senior Fitness, and Lifelong Running. And I think the world is taking notice now because of things like Forks Over Knives and you being in Forks Over Knives. The message I hear you saying, and it is hard won by you, and that's what I want to get across to my listeners today, that when you open your mouth and you say something, there is 47 years of running and 33 years of being a vegan behind it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's got to prove something.
Yeah. We'll take a short break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you more a little bit about this, Dr. Ruth. Talk a little bit more about the difference that can come into the life when someone makes these changes. And the changes are, well, some would call them radical. Do you call them radical? Let's find out what you're going to say about that question and others on our return. So everybody stay right where you are.
Is marijuana a good idea for you? I'm Dr. James Markham. A recent college student in Colorado ate some edible marijuana in a cookie. He ate one, didn't bother him at all. No effect. He ate six. He became irrational, jumped off his balcony, and died. Well, marijuana comes in different forms, from cookies to gummy bears to inhalational agents. Well, how can marijuana hurt you? Affects your memory, affects your movement, lowers your IQ, 9% become addicted, and this year alone, 12% of those over 12 will use marijuana. Is marijuana good for you? The answer is no. Look at the evidence. For more about marijuana, read my blog at heartwiseministries.org.
Did you know that last year in the United States, over 4 billion prescriptions were written? Prescription medications seem to be the most popular treatments these days. But what can we do if we want to limit our exposure to prescription medications? At Heartwise, we recognize the importance of nutrition in treating and prevention of disease. Dr. Hippocrates stated, "Let food be thy medicine." Many evidence-based studies support a whole food, plant-based diet. But how is this achieved in the fast-paced world we live in today? We want to encourage those interested in this type of treatment to watch the documentary film Plant Pure Nation and visit the website plantpurenation.com. This is a great first step towards helping yourself move towards better health and helping make the world a better place. Visit plantpurenation.com to start your journey today. That's plantpurenation.com.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today is Dr. Ruth Heydrich. She is an Ironman triathlete. She is also in the movie Forks Over Knives. She has written a number of books. Her latest one, Lifelong Running, is what I'm talking about today. She has been a marathon runner for a very, very long time, and she has just proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that what they say, what the scientists say, actually works in the real world. Dr. Ruth, you're a PhD. What are you a doctor of?
In health education with minors in nutrition and exercise physiology. I was all but the dissertation for my PhD in psychology when all this happened.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, this is the information I need to help people. It's not psychological. It is nutritional. So that's when I went ahead and finished a PhD in mostly nutrition, but also exercise.
Now, for those who are just joining us, all that happened that she's talking about was she had stage 4 breast cancer, and she learned about the vegan diet from John McDougall. And if anyone has ever heard John McDougall, you know that he's a passionate guy, and he minces no words. Am I right, Dr. Ruth?
Yep. Okay. That's right.
And she made the change, and she began training for the Ironman triathlon and got hit by a truck. But even in spite of her injuries, she went on to finish the thing, and she has done that ever since, finishing triathlons, Ironman triathlons, and marathons. In your book, you outline several of the myths that people have for running, and they're all tied in some way or another into this whole nutrition model. The first one you have is that I am not a runner. People say, I'm not a runner. Is that really an excuse?
I hear that all the time. And I have to laugh because we are all runners. You take a look at toddlers. Mm-hmm. They never walk anywhere. They run everywhere. You go past an elementary school and the kids out for recess. Do they walk? No, they run. What happens is as kids get older, they are being told, stop running. Actually, I was a lifeguard I was in high school, and I didn't save any lives from pulling people, saving them from drowning. I had to blow my whistle and stop running, stop running, you know, and the message gets through. So by the time we reach adulthood, we have stopped running. And so people think, I'm not a runner, but we have the physiology, we have the metabolism to be endurance runners. I have a friend who's doing a 100-miler this coming weekend.
Wow.
100 miles, and it's not his first. You know.
May I ask how old this friend is?
He just turned 50.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
100 miles, 50 years old. All right. And the second myth, of course, women shouldn't run. I mean, forget about men. Women shouldn't run. Is that right?
I remember, possibly you do too, there was an article published by a gynecologist who said, if women run, their uterus is going to fall out.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. He thought that it was very dangerous for women to run. Well, there was the Boston Marathon one year, I think it was 1973, something like that, when Catherine Spitzer signed up as Kay Switzer. And once the race director saw it was a woman in his race, the Boston Marathon for men only, he tried to pull the number off of her, the race bib number, and her boyfriend just did a body block and allowed her to finish. And so she proved that women can run marathons. And actually, in ultra marathons, sometimes women win overall, lasting longer than men. Women are built to run. We are strong. We are powerful. We just need to recognize our strengths.
And to recognize those strengths, be you a man or a woman, should we just say, okay, I'm strong, I eat well, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to start running my little shoes off here and just dive into it? Is that the best way to start running?
Well, kind of what I did.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you can get in trouble. There's no question about that. And I go into a lot of detail on how to train in the lifelong running, which, incidentally, none of these books have been my ideas. You know, a lot of authors write a book and then they try to get it published. Dr. McDougall said, right after the cancer and the Iron Man, you've got to write a book. And I said, me? Me? Write a book? He said, yes, you've got to tell women. So that's how A Race for Life came about, because I was racing for my life and for the rest of my life. And then Senior Fitness, my publisher called me when I turned 70, and he said, you know,
now that you're a senior,
poster child for Senior Fitness, how about writing, this is Lantern Books, by the way, the publisher, Martin says, how about writing a book on senior fitness? And I thought, yeah, you know, it's not just cancer, and it's not just heart disease and high cholesterol, which I'd had before. It's arthritis, it's diabetes, it's stroke, it's dementia, it's ED, it's all these things. So that's how Senior Fitness came about. And then Chef, my e-book, cookbook, because people would say, well, what's wrong with fish? Or what's wrong with olive oil? Or how do you fix your food? So anyway, that with Chef and on my website, RuthHeidrich.com. And then when Martin Rowe, the editor at Lantern Books, was editing my books, he thought, you know, maybe I could run. And actually, he at 45 years old, he started running. He's now run a bunch of marathons himself, so he got hooked on running.
Well, Dr. Ruth, let me stop you. Why run? Why not walk? Why not climb stairs? Why not go to the gym?
It's too slow. It doesn't give you the aerobic effect. It doesn't build the strong bones to prevent osteoporosis. It's just, for me, a lot more fun. So I get another call from him, and he says, you know, I just dawned on me, you've been running for over 45 years. How about another book? How about, you know, you qualify as lifelong running.
Yes.
So the next morning, I'm out on my daily run, having fun. And all these things started going through my head. Got home, wrote a bunch of things down, called Martin, said, okay, I'll do it. And when I realized there are so many myths about running, that it's going to ruin your knees, that it's hard on your joints, that it's lonely, it's not fun. I love racing. Racing is just such a kick. It's so much stimulation with all these other people, and everybody's happy. You watch them cross the finish line, their arms up, raised high, and what, you know, it, you don't get this in walking.
Okay. All right. I understand. The book is called Lifelong Running by our guest today, Dr. Ruth Heydrich. Let's end the program with a message here, Dr. Ruth. You are talking to a lot of people who are interested in health. You are talking to people who are young and who are old. Give us a little pep talk for a minute and a half here of why we should do something, anything, to have better health, and what should we do to have better health?
I would say that diet is king, exercise is queen. You need to do both. And you don't want to find out the hard way that this is true. There are all these diseases that are degenerative diseases, most common in our culture, in the Western countries who eat the way we do. They kill animals that are raised under horrible, inhumane conditions. They slaughter them, and they feed them to our children and our population, and they get sick. And most people don't recognize what's happening. Even our medical doctors, most of them have been raised on the SAD diet, you know, the standard American diet, and they're victims of the same cultural myths that you need the protein, that it's protein that builds muscle, and if that were true, of course, you'd have all the bodybuilders in the kitchen. Bodybuilders build muscles by lifting weights in the gym. And you get the aerobic effect by getting out. It doesn't have to be running. It just is so convenient. You can do it anytime, any place, alone, with people, day or night. It's just a convenient exercise. But cycling is good. Swimming is good. So choose something that exercises the major muscles of the arms and legs and the core, and makes you breathe hard. And that's going to help your lungs, your heart, your bones, muscles, and most of all, the brain. We're seeing so much dementia.
Yes.
And it's going to be more and more common because of this horrible lifestyle that most people, most Americans, most people in the Western countries are following. And we can't afford it. We've got to make some changes.
All right. The book is entitled Lifelong Running by our guest. Her website is www.ruthheydrich.com, RUTHHEIDRICH.com. You can find out about her book, Lifelong Running, and Senior Fitness Chef, A Race for Life. They're all right there for you to enjoy. I'm always inspired when I talk to you. I'm 65 years old, and when I talk to someone who's 80 who can run rings around me, I am inspired and motivated to just do something to keep myself going good, and I appreciate that, Dr. Ruth. Thank you very much for being with us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Ruth Heydrich, inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.